She loves it hot. He loves it cold. However you sleep, the pod by 8 Sleep adapts to you. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
I've kind of made it a habit of putting folks on the air that still don't have power, because whether you believe this or not, the Duquesne Light folks are actually, they've listened and they've actually been very responsive. A young lady has reached out to us who's frustrated as hell, and she should be, because her grandmother is in a bad place with these power outages. And we're lucky enough to have Valerie on the phone. Thank you so much for calling us. How's it going?
Not good. I just drove 3 hours though from Virginia to Philly for my husband in the hospital for serious illness, and I'm trying to help my mom in Pittsburgh at the same time, and I can't get up there. She's been out of power since Friday, and they stopped 3 days ago, and they said it's a serious damage that they had to call someone in. They wrapped the pole with a red ribbon. They wound up the wire against her house, and they said they'll be back.
Oh, this is, hold on, take a breath. Hold on, calm down. This is your mom?
Yes, this is my mother, yes. Aww. Yes.
And how
She's
old is
89
she?
Years old.
89. Is it Duquesne Light, ma'am?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so she hasn't had power since Friday?
Correct.
And she's there alone?
She's there alone in the house. My niece also lives in another part of Pittsburgh, and she was out until 2 days ago. So she would stop and bring her muffins and donuts and stuff to eat because there's nothing to eat. And once in a while, they'd go out to McDonald's or somewhere and get a hamburger, and she'd go out to her car.
Is she able to keep warm, ma'am? Is she able to keep warm?
She's been sleeping with coats and gloves and blankets and stuff on. And she'll go sit in the porch when it's sunny out during the day. And otherwise, she'll go out and get in the car and warm up.
Did she lose all of her food? She must have lost all the food in the fridge, right?
She has a whole fridge down, freezer downstairs. She hasn't even opened yet, but upstairs, yes, she emptied it out yesterday. 3 bags. Everything's totally gone.
All right, my dear. Thank you. We're on it. We'll get it done. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thing. It's very stressful, man.
Oh, it's awful. And I found her house on the Duquesne Light outage map, and it's not even slated till maybe tomorrow.
All right. I'll send it to my fellas there. No power since Friday? My goodness. Poor thing. We made a habit of doing that. I will get that address to the Duquesne Light people. And the poor thing's having trouble with her husband. And you can tell she's worked up, as she should be, as I would be. And Valerie, we thank you for calling and caring. All right. I got to transition to this. So I'm going to be straight about this. I would feel safer with a felon convicted of drug dealing in my neighborhood than a sex offender. I would feel safer with a robber, convicted robber who'd done time, than a sex offender. I would feel safer in my neighborhood for a guy who'd done time for murder. I mean this, than a sex offender. You know why? Can't fix them. You can't. Read the data. They're unfixable. You want evidence of that? This guy, the flasher, he's being called. A judge sent me this a few minutes ago. So this guy's out of Texas. He's a registered sex offender in Texas. And this guy was driving through Riverview Park, my goodness, in a Chevy Equinox, whatever you want to call it, and whipping out his private parts and pleasuring himself. I apologize for the vulgarity, but you need to understand this. Two young girls, victim number one, victim number two, victim number three. Victim number one, same car. Victim number two, same car. The driver was identified as Jonah Roby, Texas ID, registered sex offender. Wow. Black male, red shorts, black sweatshirt, long dreads, in his 30s. Several times in Riverview Park, which we're very familiar with, it's very close, kind of sort of the north side, beautiful park, and was exposing himself to a bunch of young women, had arrest for sex offenses as recent as 2025. and is now a registered sex offender doing his thing in Pittsburgh. I'm telling you, folks, they cannot be fixed. The judge, who's the best judge going, Gene Riccardi, said, I will not allow him to be released on bond. Judge Riccardi, rock star. Meantime, Rich Shupka, right now on the South Side. Good afternoon, my friend.
Hi, Marty.
I'm kind of getting disgusted with talking about this house on the South Side that had 12 registered sex offenders, and they promised they were moving, and we find out, no, they're not going anywhere. They have new additions, sir, right?
Yeah, it's true, Marty. The lady up in Arlington is the one that found out about it.
Froze up. He froze up. Hey, Rich, call us. Sometimes the cell coverage or the bandwidth or sometimes the video breaks down. Call us, my man. 866-391-1020. So there's this house on the South Side, 2822 Salisbury Street, okay? We reported, what was it, 2 weeks ago, that there's a house there, Patrick actually has video of it, that there were 12 sex offenders living there in this group house. Well, then the owners slash real estate folks said that they were moving them out. They lied. If they move some out, they move them back in. Because we were notified, let me get to these names. We were notified that two sex offenders have just moved in this house. Miguel Beach, registered sex offender. This one, Carlos Rivera, sex offender, have moved into the house. So if they have, there's Chupka, if they have shut this down, they're lying to us. They're lying to us and creating further danger on the South Side. This gets old for folks like Chupka. Rich, how the hell could they lie to us? Tell us they're moving all these sex offenders out only to find out they're moving more in, sir. It's ignorant, man.
I know it's unbelievable, actually, Marty. You know, I don't know if we got stuck on a $1.5 billion between Pittsburgh Public and the city of Pittsburgh with no one in charge of keeping track of pedophiles.
True.
Especially when we have a school 1 mile away.
It's true.
Arlington School K through 8.
And Rich, I thought they said they were closing this down, man, so they lied?
Apparently. You know, they got on Facebook and all this saying they took care of this, took care of that, and nothing's taken care of.
Well, not only is it not taken care of, they're moving guys in there, brother.
Yeah. Yep.
And do you subscribe to my belief that they cannot be fixed, sir? I mean this. They can't.
Well, all the studies say, you know, no matter what you do,
right,
they're going to do it again.
Right. And for you personally, it just compiles your aggravation with the city unable to acknowledge the facts that they're not addressing these pedophiles living in this house. Yes, sir?
True, Marty. I mean, we have the city of Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh Public Schools, $1.5 billion cost the taxpayers every year. Mm. And not one person's in charge of keeping track of pedophiles. But we have, Marty, we have plastic bag inspectors. We got a $6 million study to tell us what needs to be done in Pittsburgh. We got $4 million worth of bureaucrats on the mayor's office down there. And how much money was spent on stop the violence? And violence hasn't stopped at all in City of Pittsburgh if you watch TV every night.
Well, without getting into the minutiae of it or exposing any big story, there are some developments in some of these grants that were made during the Gainey administration. And I know you're aware of this, but we'll leave it at that, sir. But folks are finally shining a light on some of that. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Without getting into
the
details.
Yes, it is, yeah.
My man, this has to stop. Thank you for pointing out the truth, my man. Truth to power, Rich Chupka. My man, thanks.
Thank you, Marty.
He's right. They cannot be fixed. This guy, who was just arrested, who literally has his own name, The Flasher. It was so prevalent in Riverview Park. They saw him so many times, they gave him a damn name, The Flasher. Was just released from a sex offense in Texas and registered in 2025. What year is this? Oh, 2026. And now he's back at it again with a fury. Disgusting.
You know your customers. Ralph likes his coffee black on Fridays, but Mondays he takes a little cream. Jennifer comes in every 3 years when her lease is up to get the newer and better model. And for some reason, pepperoni pizza sells like crazy on Friday nights. Who knew? At Odyssey, we have the expertise to get your media plan done right. With ads like you're hearing right now, to targeted social media campaigns, search engine optimization, and location-based advertising. Advertise with Odyssey and help us grow your business. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's unacceptable to have sex offenders released from a prison in Texas and sent to Pennsylvania, put them on a list and saying they're cool. And the guy's in Riverview Park pleasuring himself in front of young girls multiple times. That cannot be fixed. It cannot be fixed. Hey, tell me I'm biased, fine, but do some research. No, do some research. They cannot be fixed. They cannot be fixed. And so having them within a mile of a school and telling us that they closed that house, it's gross. And I've talked to doctors before. They get these people in therapy for 20 years. They can't fix them, which is why I go back. You might think it's hype, but I go back to that. I'd feel better knowing a guy had done time for bank robbery in my neighborhood than having a sex offender. Scary, man. Scary as hell. And to have them that close at the school, and to lie to us, Patrick, when did we do this piece that they promised they'd shut this house down with 12 sex offenders on the south side?
Just shy of a month ago.
So a month ago. A month ago, they told us they'd shut down this house. What's the address again? It is 2822 Salisbury Street, Pittsburgh, Salisbury. And so they told us that they had a dozen sex offenders, and the property owner said, oh, we're going to move them a month ago. I don't know if some moved, but two just moved in. Miguel Beach, rape. Guy raped someone. He's in there. Neighbors are getting notifications. Carlos Rivera, sex assault, he moved in, huh? So they're lying. And think about a lack of a comfort level with this. So using the case of the guy that they just arrested in Riverview Park, young girls identified him in a lineup. And using the case of the legal system and how it usually works, usually on a case like this, the flasher is what he's called. They showed a photo lineup to a bunch of young girls, and it was him. the cops, now what happens? Huh? Well, historically, with these kind of charges, they set bond. And he's out again. Now, look at his history. Released from prison in Texas as a sex offender. Somehow ends up in Pittsburgh. Somehow ends up in Riverview Park, and I'm counting one, two, three, four victims, all right? And exposing himself to females. 30-year-old black male wearing black sweatshirt, long dreads in his 30s. Cops snag him. Good work, Pittsburgh police. They searched his vehicle. Wow. Found an open jar of coconut oil and body lotion in the back. Not to be disgusting and vile, but he was using coconut oil as a lubricant. Not to get vile, but trying to make you understand or comprehend that this guy's sick. What's my point? If he gets out, if a woke judge sees him, he'll get ROR'd, released on his own recognizance. He'll be back on the streets. And what do you think he'll be doing in a couple days? Now, if his life pattern continues, he'll either be back in Riverview Park or he will take his Chevy Equinox with New York registration and drive somewhere else and pleasure himself in front of young girls with coconut oil. Why? Because the system kicks him. Because he's not a dangerous sex offender. But sure he is. What if that's your daughter in the park? What if he decides to be more aggressive? This is where we're at with the criminal justice system that allowed him to bounce from Texas. And I wonder what he did in New York, if he has New York registration. And I wonder if he gets out of jail. Now, Gene Riccardi, I texted him. He's the judge on the case. And he said he was being arraigned at 10:30 this morning, four cases, and that he denied bond. Good. Good, Gene Riccardi. There's a judge that gets it. Dangerous stuff, folks.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen it all twice, and with the weather, we've seen it all at least twice. Mary Hours, my friend, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Kind of weird, Mary, what's happened. The swings and the ice and snow and the 70 degrees and the winds. Kind of bizarre, right? Right?
It has been wild. It has been so wild. I mean, I haven't seen 60s and 6 inches of snow in a day in my career, but it has happened in the past years ago. So, yeah, first time it happened in the 2000s, but I think the last time it happened, I was probably 5 years old.
And Mary, I was talking to Ray about this. Were there 16 hours of really high winds? 16 hours? Insane.
Yeah, I think Du Bois, their peak wind gust was 75 miles per hour.
Whoa.
And when you put that into perspective, yeah, like a Category 1 hurricane starts at 74 miles per hour. So they were that strong. I mean, I still think there might be some people without power.
Yeah, yesterday. We just had a woman on the air. 89 years old. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's horrible.
See, that's rough. I hate
that.
It's
rough as hell. It sucks. And, you know.
Yeah.
And, Mary, I saw some of your video. There are trees down everywhere. And Mary, if that tree falls in your yard, you got to pay for that, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess you do. Yeah, you do.
If it falls in your house, you have a shot.
I don't ever like to wish for storms.
Hey Mary, if your neighbor's tree falls from their yard onto your house, it's your responsibility.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So are we past it, the craziness?
We're past it. I don't think we're going to see winds that strong. So, I mean, for the month so far, it's been so wild. I mean, from tornado warnings, when I was on air with you, that day was crazy.
Whoa.
And I was like, they're going to, like, we didn't have a tornado warning, but we knew it was coming. And thankfully, no confirmed tornadoes. But
hold on. I want to interrupt you. This is how good you are. This is how much you care about people. Mary ran into the newsroom because she loves people and knows what the hell she's talking about. And for the first time, my wife heard someone say, get away from the windows. You were that worried, right?
I do. I'm a very play it safe. I'm rather safe than sorry. I think I'm a little like scared from, remember when we had the DeRay show?
Oh, yeah.
It like the whole building shake. I knew it wasn't going to be that strong, but like a tornado warning in Pittsburgh, I was like, just be safe. Who knows if something could fly through. I'm sure it wouldn't break our windows, but still just get away from the windows just to be safe. Because I think it's just the mom in me. I always think of all those Final Destination scenarios and like think of the worst that happens. Since I've become a mom, I feel like I always think of that stuff.
Oh, I love that you care, and you're so good at it. And your whole team is, they just kick ass. So where are we headed now?
First day of spring is Friday. Uh-huh. Yay. This weekend, we're looking at the 60s, maybe touching 70s. Okay. So I can't wait to put my patio furniture out.
Uh-huh.
We do start to get a little bit cooler into the upper 40s next week. But after today, it finally warms up again. So we should touch 50 tomorrow. It's just a little bit colder today.
Mary, fantastic job during the storms. You guys are the rocks. All of you. Rock stars. And it really is helpful. That television picture, all red. Woo! The whole thing was red, Mary, during the warning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. And I know the first thing that people were worried about, as me too, as a mom, I had the conversation with Vivi that morning. I was like, hey, if there's a tornado warning, just want you to know, you just go to the basement. This is what you guys plan for. But what's really cool is mommy's tracking it and mommy's on air. So I can call your school and tell the teacher, hey, make sure you're in the basement. So I was telling her that. And then what happens? Vivi didn't have to go to the basement, but other schools did in the Pittsburgh area. And I'm like, I mean, it's just something you have to talk to your kids about, but make sure, you know, I always say, don't be scared, be prepared.
Good for you. Mary Hours, you're the best. Thank you, Mary.
Aw, thanks, Marty. See
you. Amazing. And 'tis a fine day to have my Lance O'Brien. My man, did you get just hammered yesterday, didn't you? Hammered on St. Patty's Day.
No,
hammered.
I didn't.
My grandfather was from Ireland, Galway, was in the Irish Republican Army, had to be smuggled to America. My uncles went over there, this is the truth, about 15 years ago, and they unearthed, because his gun was buried, and they brought it back to the States, and it's on the mantle of my uncle's.
That's pretty cool.
No, that's freaking cool.
Yeah, that is.
But my man had a still in his bathroom in Shadyside on Claiborne Street. My grandfather, I love the Irish man.
Yeah, I didn't get hammered yesterday, so.
I didn't have, Patrick got wasted during the show. Hammer.
He's not flashing anyone, is he?
Hammer. So, this fraud we're seeing in hospices and across the country, and then Dr. Oz, are you seeing this?
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit last week, right, because of the increase of the Part B premium. Well, this just broke in the last couple of days, where there's been widespread fraud around hospice, yeah. which think about that in and of itself. Like, what could be the worst place to do it? Because somebody's basically end of life and you're taking advantage of them. But what's happening, Marty? Like, there was a couple articles, one that was the breaking news, a lot of it in California, but it's not just secluded to that area. But then Dr. Oz, a director of CMS, you know, Health and Human Services, was talking about the crackdown on it. And it's just crazy, you know. That basically what they're doing, Marty, is they're getting a hold of their Medicare card information, even though they might not be in hospice, and they're actually entering them into the system, collecting the benefits or the payments from Medicare, and then, you know, just moving on. It's insane.
I'm seeing this. They found it just about every hospice care center in California.
Yeah, it was over 50% of them, and they just had to shut a ton of them down.
So they're all criminal enterprises. Huh?
It's baffling to me, really, you know, and why it's important to me is it's like, wow. Well, how do we avoid it, right? Like, there's always going to be criminal actors out there, right? And they're always looking for the next step. It's funny because like 7 or 8 years ago, Marty, the Medicare card used to have your Social Security number on it. Which was a really bad thing when you think about it, right? Because what do they always tell you about your Social Security card? Don't put it in your wallet, right? Don't carry it around with you. So they changed it back in 2015, 2016 to have a Medicare, an MBI is what they call it, but Medicare Beneficiary Identifier. So it's a whole new number now. It's a mix of letters and numbers to curb some of this fraud. But now all they're doing is they're getting a hold of the card. And they're using the information off of that to act like people need hospice when they don't really need it.
This is sick. Lance O'Brien, MediConnect. California, Los Angeles County, a 1,500% increase in hospice companies since 2010. More than six times the national average, ripping people off. Woo!
It's messed up, man. It's messed up. You know, because if you believe all the reports, which I think there is some truth to it, you know, Medicare is teetering a little bit, right? So now when you got people taking advantage of it, that doesn't help it, right? Like it ruins it even more. And, you know, for me, the one thing I would say about all this is if you're listening today, treat your Medicare card like you treat your credit card.
Wow. So let me make a point about, we've discussed this. My father-in-law is, 80. And when people turn 80, things change. Your capacity to understand the things you're doing. Got flood insurance for a house that isn't in a floodplain. Bought $1,000 worth of supplements over the phone.
Yep.
Has several thousand in credit card charges that he does not know where they came from. Now, this is a brilliant man who had one of the most successful businesses I've ever seen. But what happens is our acuity, right? Changes and seniors become particularly vulnerable, which would why they would be perfect targets for this, right?
Yeah, they're really the worst target. And my daughter used to work at a bank, and she said that it's awful. Every day there's people coming in and they're saying, I got to withdraw money for this and that.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's just so sad, really, you know? So like treat that Medicare card basically like your credit card, which is you don't give your credit card information out to anybody, you know, especially if they call you or contact you. The only way I'd ever give my Medicare card information to someone over the phone is if I called them because I already knew them and I was doing something.
But let me say this, because you're right. However, comma, most of the folks don't even remember doing this. This is why my wife has been amazing in that she is now in all the documents. So every day she says, damn, my father called this. You have to have someone watching over you, don't you, sir?
You do. And here's a story. My mom, unfortunately, please, passed away 10 years ago. Uh-huh. But I remember going home to visit her one Thanksgiving, and I walk into her room, and she's in there, and she's on the phone with this computer tech guy. And he's saying, you got to download this, you got to download that. And she's doing it.
Of course.
And I'm just like, my mom was a head bookkeeper for a visiting nurses association. I mean, she was a smart lady, numbers, understood it all. But yet, she didn't know the technology, so she was going off of what this expert told her, right? And that's where I think they look for the areas where they know that maybe the senior doesn't have the expertise, and they try to take advantage of that.
Hey, to your point, wow. In LA County, 700 of the 1,800 hospices were cheating.
That's bad ratio, man.
Woo!
Like, where do you send your dying loved one?
I don't know.
Like that, it's it's horrible. Honestly, there's not another word for it. It's just really horrible.
Can you hang?
Yeah.
Wow, it's important stuff. So I want to stay on this subject. We're with Lance O'Brien with MediConnect, who's become a good friend, and he's a wealth of knowledge. And he told this story about his mom on the phone. In my mind's eye, I see myself going into my mom's house, and she's on the phone BSing with some stranger, some jackass telemarketer who's trying to scam her and tells me he's a nice guy. And I have gone into homes with Patrick with a camera because an elderly person has lost 200 grand because they got sucked into some scam. So here's my point. There's a couple things. Number one, if you can, you have to have, once you become in your 70s, you have to have someone to watch over you. Isn't that fair?
100% agree with that. Right? That's why we encourage people. They'll be like, sometimes my kid wants to sit on the appointment. We're always thumbs up on that.
Well, this is my second point. Because a lot of folks don't, because their kids are in LA or...
Yeah.
I'm just a woman that recently fell down her stairs and died. Died alone. Her kids find out because one of them was in Hawaii and the other one was in South Carolina. They don't live here. A stranger called them. If you don't have someone there, you got to have someone you can call, you can trust. And I know you're a business. However, comma, your people know what they're talking about and they can answer questions and they want to.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the biggest thing when it comes to Medicare or really any subject is find somebody that you can trust, right? Because that's where it's all at.
Right,
because unfortunately, there are bad actors,
well, sure.
Right? You know, and you have to make sure that you're working with someone that is going to make sure.
Who knows what they're doing?
Yes,
Hold on, man. The most significant story you've told. Tell us about the guy who was paying for Medicare for like 10 years and wasn't supposed to. What was that?
Yeah, so basically when he turned 65, he had heard that if you don't sign up for Medicare at 65, you're going to get a penalty.
Right.
So he enrolled in Medicare A and B, which Medicare Part B has a monthly premium. 10 years ago, it was about $150 a month. Now it's $200. So he's paying that every month for all of those 10 years. Well, his wife was still working, and his wife had insurance, and he was on her insurance. So he didn't have to. Enroll in Medicare.
Why didn't they tell him that?
What's that?
Why didn't they tell him that?
He didn't ask. That's the problem.
This is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, he didn't ask. He didn't know who to go to, you know, because he was a little bit skeptical anyway, right? About all things government and insurance and all of that. But he never asked. And because he didn't ask, he cost himself $25,000.
To my original point. Ask someone that knows.
Yeah, which was really sad because one of the first things that he said when I walked into his house was, we don't really have a lot of money. We can't afford to. We can't really afford to pay a lot extra for coverage. So he's already saying that, and he just, you know, really flushed that down. And that is heartbreaking to me, right? Like, you shouldn't. It is very confusing for people.
Hell yes.
And you shouldn't penalize yourself because you don't know what you're doing, right? Because that only adds a layer of challenge to your fixed income, whatever it might be, right? Like, talk to somebody who knows what they're doing, right? And, you know, like, I want to go back to this because I think this is so important. Like, you shouldn't be carrying your Medicare card in your wallet. Now, I know that there's some people that are people that are listening right now, and they're like, well, I have a Medigap, which if you have a Medigap, Margie, Medicare is primary. So you have to show that Medicare card when you go to the doctors. But you know this as well as I do. Generally, when you go to the doctor, what do they do with the card? They photocopy it, right? Yep. They take a copy of it so it's on file. So that when you go in, they're going to ask you, did your insurance change? Well, your Medicare didn't change. So get your card on file and then get it in your safe.
Thanks, my man. Call someone that knows and have somebody watch over you, please.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.